I don't have the most exciting life. I was born Nazareth, small town, nobody knows anything about. No one has anything good to say about it. My dad, Jacob, simple man, carpenter. I remember as a young child going out and helping him. He said, "Joe, hold this." And so I'd hold it while he worked on it. Later on, he would show me how to use a saw, show me how to use the hammer, how to fit joints together to make the pieces strong. And that was my life. It was a good, simple, honest life. Nothing to write home about. When I'd sit out with the men around town and we would tell stories, I would hear their stories and think, I wish I had a story to share. My stories were all, well, when I was a kid, I held a board, and then my dad taught me to use a saw, and then he taught me to use a hammer. And you can only tell that story so many times before when you pipe up around the circle, they begin to laugh at you. And I say, Joseph, don't share any more of your stories of holding boards, please, Joseph. I grew into a man, and I said, well, it's probably time for me to settle down, get married, start a family of my own. Young girl in town, Mary, nice, humble, meek, loves the Lord, faithful. Seemed like a pretty good match. We set it all up, arranged the situation. She would be my wife. She agreed to be my wife. Her family was okay with the marriage. My family was okay with the marriage. Another step down the boring life, but it was mine. And I was okay with that. As we're engaged, I remember when my story changed. I was at my house and Mary comes in and she says, Joseph, we need to talk. I don't know if you've ever had anyone come and tell you they need to talk. It's not I have some news to share or I have something to tell you, but it's a we need to talk. And I knew when she said that, something was wrong. My heart dropped a little bit. I felt a knot in my stomach begin to form. And I sat down and I said, Mary, what is it? And she said, we have a problem. I said, Mary, I love you. There's no problem that we can't get through. And then she shared her problem. Let me tell you something, it's a problem. She said, I'm pregnant, Joseph. Now, see, Mary and I, we were faithful. We hadn't done anything that would lead to pregnancy. And I said, How is that to be, Mary? We haven't even been together. And she says, Joseph, it's God's child. I don't know if anyone's ever told you a lie so bald face and clear to your face as I'm pregnant with God's child. But I was none too pleased to hear that my wife, to be my fiance, my committed partner for the rest of my life, was pregnant. And not only did she not have the honesty and integrity to tell me the truth, she came up with a lie so severely lacking in any integrity that the baby inside of her belonged to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. Then I said, Mary, that has never happened before. It did not happen today. This is untrue. She said, no, Joseph, it's true. And she told me her story. And I listened. What else can I do? And she told me of an angel that came to her named Gabriel. The angel came to her and said, Mary, you're favored among all women. And she was confused by this greeting, and the angel said, do not fear. Good news today for you, Mary. You are going to bear the Messiah. My Mary in Nazareth is going to build the Messiah. She's going to bear the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose reign will never end, the Messiah that Isaiah the prophet told us about. That's the Messiah. That's the child that my little Mary is going to bear. I chuckled at her as if that could be. "Who are you, Mary?" She said, "Joseph, it's true." Well, I kicked Mary out of the house and I went for a walk. See, because when your life is out of control and your soon-to-be wife has become pregnant with somebody's child and she won't even tell you whose, you got to figure some stuff out. So I spent the day just walking and walking and walking. And I don't hate Mary. I didn't despise Mary. I hated where she put me. I hated the shame that was going to go on my father's family's name, that Jacob's son would be the guy who lost his wife and before he even got married. I didn't want this story to be told around the campfires, but I didn't want the alternative. See, the law alternative for Mary, a woman who was unfaithful to her husband, was I could have her stoned to death. I could take her to our religious leaders, and I could lay out the evidence that we have that she admits that she is pregnant. She does not admit who the father is, so we can't even prosecute that scoundrel. And the right punishment, according to the law of Moses, that she would be stoned to death. I couldn't stomach it. I couldn't go through with that. I couldn't push to that extreme. I couldn't see that happen. And so I resolved inside of myself to divorce Mary as quietly as you can in Nazareth. To just cancel the wedding, cancel the ceremony, to go before the priest and get a divorce and be done with it. And when people asked, I'd say, you know, she got pregnant, but I don't want to deal with that. And maybe even Mary could marry that young man, whoever it was, who got her pregnant. And so I went home after figuring out my life. And I laid down on my bed. And then all of a sudden, light filled the room. I looked over, and in my room was an angel of the Lord. I thought, this is something else. Terrified. I don't know if you've ever been woken by a sound and you get scared because you know that there's a predator outside of the house. The bear has come close to the house. The lion is nearby. But in my room stood the most scary thing that I've ever seen in my life. And I remember looking upon this angel, and then he said, "Do not fear." And it just washed away. The anxiety, the nervousness, the terror was gone in a second. "I do not fear." He says, "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife. For what is conceived in her," that which is conceived inside of her, "is from the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son. And Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." "Do not fear," the angel said. "My heart was greatly troubled when I laid down that night. And the Lord sent an angel to me to give me peace in the midst of the storm." To take me out of the mess that my life was going towards, to slow me down, and to say the story that Mary told was true. It was true, it was accurate, that Gabriel had come to her, that the Holy Spirit had overshadowed her, that the boy that was inside of her was the Messiah, the Son of God, and that I was to name him Jesus, the Lord saves, because he will save the people from their sins. So what do? When an angel comes to your fiance, an angel comes to you, you walk the path in front of you. And so I married Mary that week. Small wedding, not quite as large as one would expect. And she was with child visibly very quickly after our wedding. And it came to pass in those days that Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken, a counting of all people. And we had to return back to our ancestral homelands. And see, the only story I ever had that was of any interest to anybody is that my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was King David. And that was my one story. But let me tell you something, a story from a guy who lived 1,400 years ago doesn't always win the campfire tales. But we had to go back to our ancestral homeland, and I am from the family of David, and so we went back to the city of David, Bethlehem. And by this time, Mary was great with child. Some of you have seen women great with child. That was Mary. She was ready to deliver at any moment. And we get to town, and we go see my good Uncle James. We go to his home, and he's got this upper room for guests. Typically where guests would stay. It's a small room. It's got a bed, place for me, a place for Mary to sleep. But when you have a woman in the condition that Mary is in, great with child, there was no room for her in that room. For what was going to take place in that house, the delivery of that child, there was no room for her in that inn. And so graciously, my uncle said, "Why don't y'all go downstairs? We have a stable. We have a place. There's room for us to deliver this child." And his wife came out, and that night, that very night, when we arrived in Bethlehem, the child was born. And I remember watching Mary as she delivered the child, thinking, what world am I getting into now? And they handed me the child. They said, "What will you name the child?" "Joseph." And I said, "We will name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." And we wrapped that little baby Jesus in swaddling cloth, and they handed him to me. And my life was filled with worries. How do you raise God's son? How do you direct the Messiah towards the future? You know, do you have a 45-step plan? My whole life was just fitting one joint into another. And now I've got to raise up the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's going to reestablish the throne of David, overthrowing the Romans. My kid? They don't write a book for that. They don't have a scroll that I can go to and open up and say, what does it say about raising the Messiah? So anxious that I held that child for the first time. And I remember the anxiety disappearing from my life. This one who will be called the Prince of Peace gave peace to me. I held the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace held me. That night was weird, as one would expect when the Messiah is born. We had visitors come by, these shepherds, stinky, dirty shepherds. And they come by and they say, "Hey, angel showed up, told us we'd find you here." I said, "What do you mean you found them here? How did you know we'd be here?" I said, "The angels told us. Go find the stable, find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And they worshiped him that day. And I remember thinking to myself, this is wild. Mary's just sitting over there, just treasuring everything that's said in her heart about the child, all the angelic announcements. Shepherds leave. Still in town trying to get through the earliest days of having a new child, first child, by the way. And a few weeks later, we have these other guys come in. Wise men, they say, magi from the east, cadre of men over Persia's way said they saw a star telling them a king would be born. And they inquired where the king would be born from Herod. They said it would be born in Bethlehem. And they came and they gave gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, stuff we couldn't afford, stuff we hadn't seen in Nazareth. You know how much myrrh is in Nazareth? Just enough to embalm the bodies. Normal people like me never get to smell and touch that sort of stuff. Gold, not copper. Craziness. I go to bed that night as the wise men leave and I have a dream. The angel comes to me again and says, Joseph, you got to go. Take your boy, flee down to Egypt. And immediately the anxiety returns in my heart. Herod wants my kid dead. He's seeking the death of this new king, my son. So I gather Mary and I gather a little baby Jesus and we head down to Egypt. We spend 2 years in Egypt. But I remember all through that anxious time when I would look over at him when he was in the bed, when he was in his mother's arms, when he began to walk and toddle around the room. That was the Prince of Peace. And he'd hold my finger. The Prince of Peace is holding my finger. After Herod died, we returned back to my hometown, Nazareth. And I got my little boy to hold the boards. And I showed him how to use the saw, how to swing a hammer, how to fit the joints together. All the while knowing, one day, this kid is going to do something massively big. And so I just walked in faith day by day. Walking in faith with the Prince of Peace. My story is a story of an anxious man whose life went off the rails. And in the words that God spoke to me through the angel, do not fear, changed everything about me. Some of you today may be walking in that fear. The world around you is hostile and opposed to you. You think, man, I'm scared of the future. I don't know what's next. I didn't know what was next. But I do know this, the Prince of Peace has come. The Prince of Peace has come. You don't have to fear anymore. You're here today and you're scared. Let the peace of God rest on your heart. The shalom of God rest on your heart because Jesus, Yahweh saves, the Lord saves, is here. You can have peace today. For that, I praise the Lord. Let me pray.